I know that it was Alan in Brazil. The thing that marked Brazil different this time with all those preachers there was how the love of God showed up. Not in a wave or something, but the tangible presence was there. It felt like you could just have to move it to walk through it. It was suspended around everywhere. Preachers were wailing up front, and some of them falling on the floor and wailing and crying. And don't even know the amount that something has changed. Not even counting the miracles now. Just it was in the middle of that he started teaching me a little bit more about it. How could you explain something that you're in, and that the contentment there makes it so, so worth living? Much less what you're going to do. It reminded me of the day I walked off my job as a result of a dream vision that woke me up. I sat up in bed and could open my eyes, and there it was. It was me leaving my job at age 30, three little kids, David, Bill, Steve. Nowhere to preach. Charged food at the country store. That got overdue, so did our rent. Little apartments. They rented out near a mill for $50 a month. First started getting them, they were $35. A lot of money. But it's closing in on over 2 months. Things were getting further behind. And the days I was staying in and praying and choosing the kind of prayer that caused time to pass, where you could legally say I was praying. And that's how I started out in tongues, not because I was a whiz kid or something. It was just the most enduring prayer, and I was stubborn. Well, got a call if I wanted to go with a friend that had been coming into the area, and people fell down, so I like to go to his meetings. That's a big deal. They fell down. I caught them. I caught people. So he was going from Eugene, Oregon to Salem to do a meeting and ask if I could come and help him. So I had to get somebody to drive me because I wouldn't have any gasoline. I got there, I caught people, had a good time. That's when the guy turned around and gave me a note. It's rude when somebody gives you a check and you open it up in front of them. That's rude. Put it in your pocket. Go in the bathroom. I glanced at it and I thought $7 and something. Oh, I've never seen a check that big. I thought $7.36. Oh, wow. Then I remembered it at the end of everything when I did go into the bathroom. So I pulled it back out and I looked, and my goodness, it was $736. Yeah. 36 years ago. I wondered if it was real. I put it in my pocket and then I'd pat it down to make sure it was there for 15 minutes. Patted it all the way home, made a mistake of telling Rosalie when I got there. Guess what happened? About 2 in the morning. Then she wouldn't be quiet, so nobody slept. The next day, if I remember correctly, I opened an account at the bank where I cashed my check all the time and stuff from the mill. And you know how brilliant I was. If I'm walking towards the bank and go over a tributary to the Willamette River, good fishing. Just a little offshoot, and that was when I was over that, and I looked up, and you know, there was blue jays circling my head, and butterflies, and silver lining around every cloud. At least that's how it looked. I took a deep breath, and I'm thinking, did I die and go to heaven? I was so dumb when I got to the bank. I said, and I think it was an insurance settlement check that he just signed over. I says, can I give this to you and then get money? He said, yeah. Yes, you can. I said, okay. So I went and paid the store and paid the rent, bought groceries. Had 100 left over and give that back over, and had 1 more 100 after that. And I thought, if I could have got any more high. I remember thinking, I'd have done anything to do this. Anything, and you mean I'm going to get to follow you the rest of my life and pray, preach, which I couldn't, and you're going to pay me. It would take quite a feeling to match that one, wouldn't it? Well, it happened. Happened in Brazil. Let me confirm just a couple of things. I told you that I was thinking that this last key, you know, it's got to be the last. He hasn't given me another one in years. It's got to be the last key, like fasting was a key. When praying in tongues delivers you to fasting, because when it can't give you what fasting does, it unlocks that door, and fasting gives you that then. Meditation, assimilation, key. And key after key he put on, and all of a sudden he gets to this one, the love of God. And he unlocks that door for you can just get a little peek in the glory coming out of it. And first thing he said, preachers, quit falling from this door, from this place. Do you know all those preachers that get a worldwide name at times, then the next thing it's they've totally fallen just in the face of the whole world, and you're going, you know how many sinners said there was nothing to it when Jimmy Swaggart had his lapse to the flesh? You know how many sinners said, I told you, there was nothing to it? That door opens and the love is leaking out and it's going up in rays. I've not got another key. That door just keeps opening wider. Well, this time I was moving in the crowd and things, and that you could cut it with a knife. It's tangible. He started talking. He says, you know what this is? He says, when this happens, that's a manifestation or of my compassion. You can feel the compassion, its presence that I have for these people. I'm going, yeah, boy, can I. But remember this part. What was he moved by? Compassion is a fruit of love. It's love in action. He was moved by compassion. And he made me know then, right there. that I keep in this which I'm doing, that when he's able to move in with his compassion like that, and then that compassion in me, which is working by his love, gets to that place where he can use it, he's going to do the same thing as what he would have done. He was moved by compassion and he healed them all. I said, boy, this is getting close. It was scary. He said, this is my compassion. And when you can be moved in the fullness of it, he said, then I'll get to do what I've always done and heal them all. Then he was very, very free with information, because the people were laying on the floor and wailing and crying here and there and different things like that. And he told me then, he says, I said, what is that? Is that their reaction to your compassion and your presence? Yeah. Well, what in their manifestation like that and wailing and crying and then get up different? How many knows when God brought these first time several years ago and the people would come up just bawl and bawl and things would change, strongholds would go. So I'm thinking, what's happening here? And he cleared that one up. Have you ever heard the term baptized in his love? That was what was happening. Because this is the first time it's happened just like that. But I'm going back in July. I'm going to get to find out how much this affected them. Seeing what's happening. One of the reasons it's so good to live here. So good, because perfect love. Now, how bad a life, I mean, how full of stress, how anything going to affect you if the love of God really, really cast out by displacing and replacing all, I mean, all of your fear? What are you going to feel like? Is there anything you couldn't do? Well, this sounds like it's out there. No, revival sounds out there. Not this. This sounds like something he could do. Revival sounds out there, where a hospital gets emptied. Well, guess what? He loves them. He loves them. He wants to do something for them. And I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. Whew. So I particularly had a wonderful time. Now I'm back, and I went and did the other meeting, which, whew, it's just about all I could do is just jump out there. I find myself back exhorting and teaching and preaching on the love of God. But then I was feeling out of place too, because this is my assignment now, is Tulsa. And I'm so thoroughly in place and flowing with him when I'm here, because he's given me Brazil when I'm in Brazil. But if I had some way to gauge how close everything was, if I was to gauge it by those things, I would say, it's not very far. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, what brings you there? I mean, what really brings us there? trying. I love what the scripture says about your enemies, about everything else. Got art, you have this, you have that. Gee. And discipline myself to the nth degree. Put something in your mouth and bite on it while he's operating on you. Some of you, ugly, ugly, I hate you. You hold all those raving things you want to say in check. But it wasn't a comfortable experience. And when would it be? See? I'm noticing a difference. Things like that really don't bother you. If that's what you became. The Garden of Gethsemane, more than 12 legions of angels couldn't come and help him. 172,000. No. Disciples couldn't stay awake and watch with him. Just an hour. Until finally, to top it all off, God turned his back on him. I wouldn't even want to heard that cry, "My God, my God." He had to. Had to. "My God, why have you forsaken?" He had to. Everybody turned their back on him. They were running. "Sheath your sword, Peter. Don't you know I could pray and there'd be more than 12 legions of angels before I finished the prayer?" In agony, when they've got fallen asleep on him, he'd pray, "If it be possible, if there's any other way that they can be saved, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, whatever has to be, whatever will be, I'll walk it through." And he did. Coming to fear, don't anybody try to tell me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it's a whole platoon of execution squad and I'm tied to a post. Don't try to tell me he's going to forsake me. He can't. He can't. He had to forsake Jesus just for that moment. And lying devil, he'll never, never, never forsake me. And I know that. Even when you try to run him off, he solicits your friends to pray for you. See, and here's the problems that come because you start seeing people in his eyes. What happens to your faith? You know what happens to your faith? You're thinking anybody that loves them that much is going to do something for them. That's how they start thinking. That's where the place called done came from. You can go and you can just drop somebody off. And you'd be foolish to worry again. To rant, rave. Wonder if he's going to do anything. When you leave them with him, you don't have them. Let him deal with it. And unless you're violating some principle in the word. He said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers." Isn't it something he needs you? He needs you. "Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers." So he sends them. But you're supposed to pray for him to do it. Boy, he sure handicapped himself. No. This is how it has to be. We can get into that sometime. But right now, remember, he said to pray to send laborers. You may go, but you may not. But when you pray, guess what? heaven it dispersed. And pretty soon, he's affecting these people, and there'll be a stream of people heading for the country, the place, the town, the house, or the person that you left with him in a finality that would shake hell. Yeah. Damn, why these people, what this is not about? Paul was thinking he was going to get away. Not after Stephen prayed. No. Hold us not to their charge. Oh boy, did he get waylaid on the road to Damascus. Pow! Who is it? It is Jesus whom you persecute. Oh. Well, I thought he was playing favorites. He's a respecter of persons. No, he's not. He just found somebody that would give him what he needed. He loves to give things to us. Don't you wish he'd have said, the harvest is truly plenteous, the labors are few. So send forth the Lord of the harvest, that he may send to you houses and lands and a lot of wealth. No, he said to the harvest. Yeah, okay, I pray the Lord of the harvest for a car. No, not exactly like that. Not exactly. But the main thing being, there's a place that's so final. Now he's coupling up and showing me those last steps. And I'll say one more time. It makes living so worth it. I love my I love my crew boss. He's my accountant and he's the boss of my crew. I have no fear. He has taken care of things and I know what to do. How many remembers when he first put me onto this? And I was so excited because the place called Dunn was magnified for a place I'd never seen before. So I started listing my loved ones and turning their names over to him and leaving them with him. Just that. Leaving them there. Boy, was that fun. That kind of poked a little fun at it when I said, I turned my boys over. They're yours, God. No, that's it. They're safe. Right. Whew, what a relief. Oh, man. When I get there, I won't find them among the goats. Whew, man. But that night, a bright light came in my room, woke me up. I said, who is it? This is God. This is God. Oh, what is the honor? What do I owe this to? I want to give your boys back. Not in your best day. Now, I have two places marked where I was going to preach. He wants to catch up once in a while. He wants you to know this. that the road just doesn't stay the same, then turn into revival. You get to change along the way. Do you hear me? If I get into that part, it'll be next week. No, I meant we'd be in here till next week.